We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Birmingham to the Bronx, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How are we doing, everybody? What a fine Wednesday, a humpity hump day here on the DA. Good to have you with us.
Aw, the DA. I love the DA.
We've got a big show coming up for you. We've got a little bit of everything for you. College football fans, we got you covered today. How about Adam Zucker, host of the NFL, I should say the SEC on CBS. You see him on the CBS Sports Network as well as part of Inside College Football. Zucker's going to join us coming up here in about an hour from now. This week, Tennessee, with dead coach walking Butch Jones, has to take on Alabama in their traditional rivalry. That one could get ugly. Also, speaking of college football, a little over an hour from now, 15 minutes past next hour, we will have Danny Werfel join us, former Gators Heisman Trophy winner. Danny Werfel and his Gators prepare for a huge matchup next weekend in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party as Florida will take on one of the best teams in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs. So we'll talk about that with Werfel coming up here. Also, final hour of the show, Marlon Wayans, one of our favorite guests have here on the show. We love having the Wayans brothers drop on by. He's a huge NBA fan. Marlon, also the star of Marlon on NBC, he'll come on the show. He'll visit us in the final hour of the program. We've got to talk about, obviously, last night's opening night of the NBA. We've got to talk about the NFL. We've got to talk about last night in Major League Baseball's postseason. We are just jocked. We are just jammed. We are filled to the gills, and we are here for you. So if you want to weigh in on any of that, the phone lines are for you to use, and please use them. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Last night, at almost the same exact moment, Aaron Judge hit a huge double that helped push the Yankees ahead in an enormous comeback where New York was down 4 runs in the 7th inning and could have been down 3-1 in the series. And Judge had the enormous double that helped tie the game for the Yanks. And at the same exact moment, Gordon Hayward crumpled to the ground at Quicken Loans Arena last night and broke his tibia in one of the most gruesome injuries I have ever witnessed, and I'm guessing most of you have ever seen. this is a time of the year where everything is happening and you have to keep your head on a swivel. And on one side of the ledger, you had pure joy, raucousness, energy at Yankee Stadium. On the other hand, you had sorrow, fear, tears in Cleveland. And that is the duality of sports right there. But man, could you have two more dramatic moments happen simultaneously as those two moments happened last night? Judge almost goes yard. Gordon Hayward's season is over. That's what this time of year is about. And we start in the Bronx, where the Yankees were on life support, down 4-0 last night with only three more trips to the plate left. And they found a way to come all the way back and buzz the Astros. 3-1 is now 2-2 in a best-of-three series. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Now the right-handed Giles, a set pitch. Swung on and line. Base hit. Right center field in the alley. Didi was running. Judge scores. Here comes Didi. He has got a score. Sanchez, a two-run double to the gap in right center. One of the greatest rallies I've ever seen.
I mean, it was special again tonight. And every home game has been special. I just feel like the fans are back. And, you know, I see things that I haven't seen in a while. And it reminds me a lot when I was playing here. So it's been fun to watch.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was, of course, the voice of the Yankees, John Sterling, on Yankees Radio, and then Joe Girardi after the 6-4 win. Let's start here. That Yankees lineup is devastating from top to bottom, and it was a near miracle that they had not gotten off of the first two games as it was. And then they put up the eighth spot in game number three, and maybe it felt like the dam had broken. And last night, what Lance McCullers was able to do is just criminal that the Astros bullpen coughed it all away. McCullers was brilliant, giving up just two hits over six innings. And frankly, I think A.J. Hinch made a mistake. I would not have gone to my bullpen that early when McCullers was doing those types of things. I realize you didn't want to give the Yankees life. I realize you didn't want to give the Yankees any type of energy or that building any type of momentum. But Lance McCullers had completely handcuffed the Yankees lineup all night. And your bullpen is not one of your strengths. And you end up going to Devenski, and he is a nightmare. And then you go to Musgrove, and he is a nightmare. And then you go to Giles, and he is a nightmare. And all is undone. That Astros bullpen is worse than the Browns quarterback situation. That Astros bullpen took a four-run lead and puked it away over two innings. And when all the dust cleared, the energy is completely sucked out of the Astros and squarely into the Yankees. Aaron Judge is a big-time player, and I know he didn't have a home run in the ALDS, but look at what he's doing right now. He is clearly that batter right now in the postseason, where you cannot miss that at-bat, because Judge is now living for the moment. Whether it's the home run in game number three, last night, that double, whatever it is, Judge is coming up big, and you just feel like every time he comes to the plate, something special could happen. Last night, two or three with those two RBIs that were absolutely huge, and he's hitting .308 in the ALCS with a .438 OBP and an .846 slugging percentage. The guy has been a monster in this series. And that Yankees lineup is too good to mess around with. Taking out McCullers, you got a gift. McCullers had been bad the second half of the season. McCullers was in a downward spiral. You got a gift by you had a night where it all came together for him like it was first half of the season, and you botched it, and you kicked it away. And for the Astros, they may have kicked away the series because up 3-1, knowing you have Keuchel and Verlander left is so much different than 2-2. And now you know, at very best, you've got to take one in Yankee Stadium still and then another on the road, or I should say back home in a 6 or a 7, and the pressure's back on you because it's a tie series and the Yankees have all the momentum. Boy, 3-1 is so different than 2-2, and credit the resilient Yankees. There is a magic on that team right now. They are finding ways to get it done. And you got to give them major credit because they were down 2-0 in the first series. They were down 2-0 in this series. And they have found ways to claw back. I mean, this is a young team. They're not supposed to be winning right now. This is really early for them in their development. And they're down 4-0. They can't get a hit together. They've got nothing going offensively. And they just kept coming. And they just kept getting good at bats. They just kept pushing the pressure onto the Astros bullpen. And my goodness, if you're Houston, that might be one where you go and say, that's the turning point of the series. We were up 3-1, and we were going to have 2 games minimum to close at home. And instead, it was 2-2, and then we were on our heels. That is a crushing way to lose for the Astros last night, and the Yankees get it done again. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And as I said, last night, Aaron Judge hits that double. He first hits the home run, okay, in the 7th inning that gets things led off. And so, okay, here's the big bat that the Yankees need to get back in it, and he delivers. 4-0 becomes 4-1. And then he comes at the plate of the night in the 8th inning, rather. And he hits the double. Jacoby Ellsbury scores. That ties things up, and the place is going absolutely bonkers. So two huge clutch at-bats. When Judge hits the double, at the same moment, Gordon Hayward crumples onto the floor in Cleveland. I can count on one hand the times that I have been physically ill watching sports. Last night was one of them. It is such a foreign, rare feeling. You might feel sadness. You might feel excitement. You might feel anger. But I'm talking illness. And not the illness where your team chokes away a lead. Not the illness where your team loses a big game. I'm talking about the physical illness because something that you're totally emotionally detached from happens. When you're invested in a team, in a game, yeah, you can feel physically ill because your team loses or something happens or a bad decision happens. But how about being detached? How about just watching as a spectator and then having something that actually makes you feel ill? That's what the Gordon Hayward injury was last night. I saw it and I said, you can't even replay that on highlight shows. You can't even put that out there because it is so gruesome. The guy's foot is pointing the wrong direction. It is perpendicular to where the ankle is supposed to be pointed. It was one of the most grotesque injuries I have ever seen, and you could see the reaction from the Cavaliers bench where it happened. Look in horror and shriek and turn away, and some of the guys ran away because it was so disgusting. When something like that happens, can that team cope? How will the Celtics handle that nightmare? We'll discuss coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
DA, first of all, man, I'm new to this area. You are awesome, brother. This is a great show, and I love the new time slot. But I love you guys. Keep it up.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. trust the professional parts people. O'Reilly Auto Parts helps you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands that you trust like BrakeBest and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, last night was one of those moments that you feel physically ill watching because of the gruesomeness of the injury. It is gory. It is disgusting. And if I am playing alongside Gordon Hayward and it happens, I am not just physically ill, I'm emotionally wrecked. I mean, think about what Gordon Hayward was embarking upon. He had had this emotional struggle of whether to leave or not, the only team he'd ever known in Utah. Clearly, he wasn't 2 feet out the door because he basically had a letter to the Players Tribune written for if he left, if he did not leave. It was fill in team here. So Gordon Hayward was struggling with the decision, but eventually decided to go to Boston for a chance to win a championship, B, to reunite with his college coach that recruited him in Brad Stevens. So this was going to be kind of the second part, this magical tour, going to Boston, playing under 17 banners with all those retired numbers, and then obviously reuniting with a guy that helped launch your basketball career. He is entering the season alongside Kyrie Irving and Al Horford and Jason Tatum. He's entering the season with Jaylen Brown and Brad Stevens and expectations of maybe winning the East, going to the NBA Finals, at the very least being the team to put pressure on the Cavaliers all season and in the postseason. 5 minutes in. 5 minutes into this dream. Not only do you get injured, so it's like a pulled hammy or maybe a tweaked knee or you strain a ligament. Oh, no. A hip pointer. Shoulder separation. Oh no! Your ankle snaps and it is dangling there like a sock with a couple of eight balls in it. It was hideous. So that dream is dashed, is broken, not only from Gordon Hayward's standpoint, but the Celtics' standpoint. Within the first 5 minutes of their season.
Kyrie lob looking for Gordon Hayward. Ooh. He throws it into traffic. It takes a funny bounce, though, right to Jaylen Brown, who gets to the cup.
Uh-oh.
And lays it in, but Gordon Hayward is hurt.
He's broken. His leg is broke. His foot is broke, Sean. He is broken.
Gordon Hayward landed awkwardly. We have Celtics with their hands on their head. And in a season, a summer in which everybody thought they knew what was going to happen, everybody waiting for a wild card, and 5 minutes and 15 seconds into opening night, as gruesome a wild card as you can imagine has just been dealt to the Celtics.
Yeah, you can see his leg, his foot was completely turned the other way. You can see everybody kind of walking away. He was almost in shock as he looked at his foot down, turned the other way. That ankle is broken, and that probably will do him for the season.
LeBron James sitting on the scorer's table, his head down in his left hand. There are players in disbelief. The Celtics are gathered as a team right now, almost in prayer on the other end of the floor.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. The one thing that comes out of this is that you realize, no matter the animosity, the petty nature of battles or rivalries in the NBA or other professional sports or college sports or any sports, there is a brotherhood when something like that happens, and the Cavaliers coming over to Gordon Hayward, LeBron James sitting with Gordon Hayward as he gets loaded onto the stretcher. The first thing that LeBron talked about after the game was Gordon Hayward. That is one of those things where in a instant, a guy's season's taken away, and who knows about his career? I obviously the morning after an injury like that, don't want to say Gordon Hayward's never going to be right again. But an ankle injury where you are dependent on your mobility and your spring and your cutting, when you rupture it that badly, there are guys that don't come back from it like they were before. People compared it to Joe Theismann's injury. Joe Theismann never played again. Now, Joe Theismann was obviously later into his career and was playing a physical sport, so it is different. But there are guys, think about Marcus Lattimore. Marcus Lattimore blows out his knee three different ways. His leg is dangling there like a sock puppet, and he never plays football again. Obviously, you don't want to go that far, but this is all the types of things that you think about. In an instant, everything changes. In an instant, everything changes. So for the Celtics, how do they cope? Well, number one, you have Brad Stevens, who there's not going to be anybody on that team that is more emotionally affected outside of Gordon Hayward than Brad Stevens because of their bond going back to college. And Brad Stevens is easily one of the best coaches in all of basketball. And you could see how they fought last night, being down 16 points and still made it a game late. Pretty amazing that the Celtics had even that resiliency to keep fighting back, because, boy, you couldn't blame them at all if they lost by 35 points last night. So Brad Stevens absolutely helps. From a basketball standpoint, not an emotional standpoint, this means Kyrie Irving has to do way more. And Kyrie Irving, the last time he had to do way more, that team missed the playoffs, and that was in Cleveland. Now, he's a different player today than he was, but this is almost like, you wanted it, you got it, Kyrie. You wanted to be outside of the shadow of LeBron. You wanted it to be your team. You wanted to spread your wings. You kept talking about needing to push yourself basketball-wise. Well, you got it, because they traded away Isaiah Thomas, and they made you that point guard. And now you've lost your second-best scorer on your team, Gordon Hayward, for the entire season. And so your second-best scorer is you. Your third-best scorer is you. Your fourth-best scorer is you. Now, let's see what Kyrie has. Kyrie wanted this baton. He wanted this role. And now he's got it. The guys after the game, I was kind of shocked. The TNT guys, Kenny, Charles, Shaq, all said to a man, well, they won't win a championship now. And it was obviously going to be tough even with Gordon Hayward, but how hard is it on opening night to be able to say with certainty, no, you can't win a championship now? You never know what happens. The Celtics have to play 81 more games. My guess is they'll make the playoffs, and who knows what happens on the other side of the ledger, what happens with the chemistry of the Cavaliers, what happens in the rest of the East. I mean, you never know. But, I mean, that's the type of shock that happened last night for everybody within that Boston organization, and how everything changes when you snap your fingers. They go from a championship contender to everybody saying, well, now they can't win a championship within the first 5 minutes of that season. And I don't care if you hate the Celtics or not, man. You can't help but feel for Gordon Hayward, because that was just so ugly. It leaves you with a pit in your stomach. I mean, it's wincing. It's wince-inducing just to hear the play-by-play call, let alone when you saw it. When we come back, little sound check, your best audio of the day, including Willie Colon with an interesting nugget from yesterday's NFL meeting with player reps and the owners. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Loving this mid-morning mothership. Scramble me some eggs and try not to scramble my brain and beam me up.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, the DA show is on your phone. You can listen to us, streaming us using the CBS Sports app or on Apple Music as well, among other places. Also, you can watch us by going to watchda.com. That is mobile friendly, the digital simulcast. So watch the show whenever you can, and it also replays and repeats once we are off the air until the next show, so you'll never miss it. It's like the DA show's own television channel 24 hours a day. Simply go to watchda.com. And again, that'll work on your phone or your tablet as well as your laptop or your PC. Tyler tweets, DA, how about them Yankees? Shout out to Mraz for rubbing his crystal ball made of Cheetos and predicting the Yankees' dominance.
Puffiness with sodium.
Daniel tweets, OMG, we have at least two more games of freaking Yankee fan and Mraz and the real possibility of another series. Crap.
Oh, okay.
We will give Mraz his due once again. He again guaranteed a victory yesterday. He said the Astros would not win another game of the series. And so we will have your latest Mraz oinking Yankee pig gluttony montage in about 30 minutes from now. At the top of the hour, we're going to have Adam Zucker, SEC on CBS. We'll talk college football with him around the SEC. And then after we get done with Adam, we will play your updated Mraz is a slovenly, oinkish, gluttonous Yankee pig. A pinstriped pig, an oinker in every regard, Bronx bacon. E tweets, I hate everything about Boston sports, but you can't help but feel bad for Hayward and that team. Put in all that hard work to have it end like that. Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not a totally heartless person, it's hard not to feel bad for Gordon Hayward because nobody's career deserves to go off of a cliff with one foot that looks like that. Now, again, hopefully he'll return. Hopefully he'll be okay. Hopefully next season he's back to being old Gordon Hayward. But foot injuries and ankle injuries have been the bane of some basketball players' existence. I think about Grant Hill, who had his Hall of Fame career derailed, never was the same once he started having ankle injuries and ankle surgeries. And that first one did him in. Let's hope this is not the case. Let's hope this is more of a Paul George scenario than a Grant Hill scenario with a gruesome injury or an ankle injury that totally pushes your career off the rails. I mean, Grant Hill had a nice career after that, played for a long time, but he was never the superstar or the explosive score that he was before the first ankle injury. Let's get to your sound check, your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with LeBron James last night, and the win by the Cavaliers covered up because of the grotesque injury to Gordon Hayward. Here was LeBron after the game.
You know, my thoughts and prayers go out to Gordon and his family. Hope for a speedy recovery, you know, healthy recovery. I've seen a couple injuries like that in my lifetime. I've seen Paul George when it happened to Paul. I was watching the game with Sean Livingston and when he was with the Clippers. And I was watching NCAA basketball with Kevin Ware when he's at Louisville, and those are the injuries that you never see coming. You never want to happen, no matter who it is, no matter what the stature, no matter how much competitive nature that you have. It's just very unfortunate.
So Nick tweets, D.A. Hayward will get through that devastating injury. Paul George had a similar injury a couple of years ago and is elite again. Well, note two of the guys that LeBron just mentioned. Paul George, who is elite again, Sean Livingston, who never had his career, who lost his career because of that knee injury. I mean, Livingston, again, became a grinder. He became a bench player. He's found a nice second life with the Warriors, but Sean Livingston's career was supposed to be the elite next-generation point guard that could do everything, size, length, defend, score. And it was all taken away because of the ACL, because of the knee injury. So you don't know how this is going to go. You can hope. We can all hope. We can all cross our fingers and say Gordon Hayward's going to be Paul George. But Gordon Hayward could be Grant Hill or Sean Livingston. You just never know. No matter what, last night that scene was just gut-wrenching to watch. Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman, tells SNY that yesterday, as part of the players' representatives' meetings with Roger Goodell and the owners, Roger Goodell might not have been completely engaged.
Yeah, I talked to multiple sources that was in the meeting. They flat out said nothing got done. It was pretty much a waste of a Tuesday, a day where the players actually, this is their off day, and they felt like nothing was accomplished. At the end of the day, the owners just want this to go away, but they don't know how for this to go away. They don't know how to put out this fire. So the players are sent back, and right now it's a standstill. Even when they brought up the topic of Colin Kaepernick, I was told they went straight to a bathroom break, and it wasn't even talked about. Even to the point where I even heard that Roger Goodell, who was in the meeting, was actually reading the paper, because at the end of the day, which I've been trying to tell the world, the owners run the NFL, not Roger Goodell. So from what I expect to be done, nothing, and it's just a shame at this point.
Wait a second. Before you guys chime in, I just want to make sure I got this right. They brought up Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
And they went to a bathroom break.
Pretty much.
Without discussing it.
Yep.
Roger Goodell was reading the newspapers.
He was on his computer reading the Boston Globe.
So here's what I would advise the NFL to do. The players have the power here, because if every player took a knee, hell, if even every African-American player took a knee during the national anthem, that's 75% of your league. You can't operate a league if you want to suspend or not play them all. You don't have a league to play. What are you going to do? Call the CFL? Okay, we need all of your guys. Yeah, that'll work real well with NFL fans. So the NFL players actually have all of the power if they want to work in concert and unison. If Jerry Jones says, we're not going to play anybody that kneels. Okay, if 75% of your team kneels, what are you going to do? Forfeit? So the players actually hold all the cards here, whether you like it or not. What the NFL owners should do, because they don't want this anymore to be politically charged, and I understand that. You've got a customer base on both sides of the political spectrum. You've got a customer base, some that support the players, some that do not. You don't want to rattle the cage of either side. I totally understand that. The owners should go to the players and say, how can we bridge this gap? What will it take? And it doesn't necessarily have to be buying off the players, but making a real concerted effort. Hey, what is it? What is it that we can do here? Is it working with your outreach programs in the community? Is it working to promote the causes that you believe in? I think we all agree, even if you disagree with kneeling during the national anthem, I think we can all agree that using the influence of these players and their celebrity and their money for causes in the community is important and is beneficial. And we can all support that. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, hey, it's a good cause, just don't do it during the national anthem. Okay, so if you believe that way, if you believe that, then the owners should make a real, genuine, authentic effort to say, how can we help your cause? How can we draw attention to your cause? Maybe they run promos during games in the stadium. Maybe instead of saluting just military, maybe there is somebody in the community that the players honor or they put up and say, that person gets an applause. That person, because of his outreach with the Boys and Girls Club or with gangs or with this community piece of the fabric, this person also gets honored, or we get attention to this club or this cause or this type of open conversation within our city. These are all ways the owners, who are worth $1 billion, can put their financial might, and the team with its notoriety can put attention on these causes that the players are speaking about. And so if you come to them honestly and say, hey, we'll do our part, we just don't want the anthem to be disrespected here, then you're coming at it honestly and you can find a middle ground. What can't happen is the owners going, we're going to intimidate you into not kneeling, and we don't care what you're talking about either. We're not interested in really working with you. That can't happen. And that's really disappointing if that is the way that meeting went. Now, who knows? Maybe the players felt that way, and maybe the owners feel, hey, we actually all got together. We were here on an off day as well. We were listening to you guys, and we did take it seriously. I don't know. Maybe the owners have a totally different vibe. But if you want to fix this, You can, as long as both sides are honest and are willing to find middle ground. But you can't just intimidate and disrespect and expect this thing to just be quieted and go away. That's not how this is going to work in terms of a solution. And finally, our favorite baseball pairing from a broadcast standpoint, John Sterling and Susan Waldman on Yankees Radio. Start off with the bottom of the fourth, having absolutely no idea what's happening with Aaron Judge of the base paths. They follow this up with the top of the fifth, not knowing how many strikes there are.
Judge goes to second and is picked off. Well, that was quick. It was a pickoff that goes 3-6. And now they're going to ask once again for a replay review.
Joe's got his hand up. Aaron Judge is not leaving the field. Are they going to challenge? Are they going to talk about this? Guess not. Well, that was fast.
What a nutty inning. 1-2. Strike three is called. I think the scoreboard was wrong, and I followed it, which is my mistake. So the count is now 2-2.
Well, the fans thought it was a strikeout also.
Well, they were looking at the board like I was.
Well, that's their mistake.
So I don't know if John can blame scoreboards at this point, because even when scoreboards are right, he's botching calls. Mraz, can you tell us, walk us through what happened with the Aaron Judge play that they had no idea what was going on?
Okay, so Aaron Judge on a flyout to, I believe, right field takes off. He's running. He goes over second base and rounds it. They double him up at first base. They review it because, as it turns out, as Reddick stumbled, they never actually tagged first base to get Judge out. So upon review, when Girardi reviewed it, they were right. Judge was safe. However, when he comes back, it occurs to the Astros during this review that because he didn't do that, he never tagged second base on the way back. So they could turn around the moment the review's over, throw to second base, step on second base, and he's out from that. The whole play makes no sense. Girardi, by the way, shouldn't have even challenged, knowing that this was an easy out at second. Sterling and Susan have no idea that Judge didn't touch second, so they think right away, when whoever was pitching, might have been still in McCullers at the time, turns around and throws to second. Oh, wow, look, Judge is getting picked off now. What do you mean Judge is getting picked
off?
Like
he was trying to steal.
Like he was trying to steal right out of the review.
Definitely not trying to steal.
Definitely not trying to steal, nor would that make any sense when the throw's to second. It doesn't even make any sense. Like, they just had no idea. And I had to go back and watch it because I was even in the car at this time pounding my steering wheel going, what do you mean? Why would Judge get picked off?
What a nutty, innit?
So they said he got picked off even though the throw went to second, which if you got picked off, you'd have to be on second to get picked off. You have to, you know, if you're trying to steal going to second, you get picked off at first.
Right.
You'd be caught stealing at second, but there's no way Aaron Judge would be caught stealing on the third out of an inning.
Right, exactly. It's not like he's a speedster. The whole thing made no sense. And again, the only thing I'll give him a pass on is, if he's going to be out regardless, why are you even challenging that? Like, this just goes back to Girardi in the first series going, I got to challenge everything I can here.
Mraz, let's focus on Sterling and Waldman. I know you hate Girardi right now.
But I'm just saying,
a reason to keep crushing Girardi. The guy is 2-2 in the ALCS.
My focus here is on, I'm giving them a slight pass because I probably would have been confused too, because it made no sense. Because why would you end a review and come out and he's going to be out anyway by a simple throw and think he's getting picked off? Like, you would have no idea what's going on. Nonetheless, they just sounded like idiots. And on the back end of that strikeout, for Susan to turn around and say the fans, well, the fans can't blame anybody but themselves for thinking that was two strikes. What are you talking about? You guys just botched it too.
Are they going to challenge? Are they going to talk about this?
Oh, God.
It was a rough half hour for
him. You were trying to follow along last night in the most important game of the series and one of the most important games in a decade with the Yankees. If you were trying to follow along on the radio, you may have been lost.
Well, the fans thought it was a strikeout also.
And that is your sound check. Next hour, we will have the most recent updated Mraz Bronx Bacon piggy oinking Yankee fan montage as his Yankees come all the way back from down 4-0 last night to win 6-4. But coming up next, let's talk a little college football, because Butch Jones right now at Tennessee is dead coach walking. There's just no way he's going to survive this. The question becomes when they have finally pulled the trigger and who replaces him. Tennessee takes on Alabama this weekend, and if they get slaughtered 59-0, if this thing is 48-3, is it possible that's just one too many embarrassments for UT and that the Vols do finally give Butch Jones the zig? Here's my thing with Butch Jones. It's a shame that he has looked at as such a boob, considering he's had a couple of 9-win seasons and definitely brought Tennessee back from the Derek Dooley dead. However, he keeps saying stupid things that keep making him look like a clown. And so you can't take him seriously. We'll ask Adam Zucker, SEC on CBS, what happens with that Tennessee job coming up here next. You are listening to CBS Sports Radio. We are streaming at CBS Sports and the app and watchda.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.